there's nothing we can do that would be any better than what He's already got planned for us.
That's right.
But what He has already, He saw this moment before time ever began, and and He ordained us to be here, Brother Daniel, right here tonight. And I'm thankful to be a part of this service, because it's not because I can stand here, but because I believe God has foreordained this moment. And I believe there's going to be someone blessed here tonight.
Amen.
Are you happy to be in church on a Saturday night?
Amen.
Good to be with each one of you. I know you've got some out sick. I think it's that time of year, Brother Tony. I know back home, it seems like we can't get everybody there at once. And if you ever get them there at once, you know, you just take a picture, because it may never happen again. But especially if you got kids. And so it's good. That'd be all the singing. I'm not much of a singer, and I don't want to sing after all those wonderful specials. Amen. I enjoyed that song, There Was Jesus. Amen. Aren't you glad that when you were lost and undone and you didn't, I'll tell you what, there was no reason for you to be around, and there was Jesus. Amen. In the hurting and in all the times when we wanted to walk away, there was Jesus. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. I want to thank Brother Tony for the opportunity to be here and the church here. God bless each one of you. Also good to have my wife. This is Virginia. Good to have her able to be here tonight. And all the kids, there's four of them there. And if they get too rowdy, the deacons can just do their jobs. The two older ones are all right, but them younger ones, they're just hard to keep up with. And I feel like I'm a whole lot older than I am, Brother Daniel. You don't know nothing about having a bunch of kids, do you? Well, I hope it's okay to just feel at home here tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. If I could title this tonight, it would be the renewing of your minds. The renewing of your minds. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
All of them. All the fiery darts of the wicked. And one more reading before you're seated. I know this is a lot, but we'll just get it all while we're standing. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians 4 and verse 7. And it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord add His blessings to the Word tonight. Now, I want to just speak to you for a few moments on the renewing of your mind. And you know, the mind is the place where the devil is going to battle us. The mind is the place where he has chosen his battleground. Can you say amen? And so if there's a time that I believe that the church is in the fight of a lifetime, it's now. It's because everywhere you go, there could be a bad billboard, or there's a social media site over here trying to get your attention, or there's something over here in the world trying to attract a brother or attract a sister. And then there'll be something online. Maybe there'll be some, you'll see all kinds of posts of negativity against one another, or some church over here fighting with this church over here. And the truth of the matter is that's the devil working on the minds of the people.
Sure.
And it is causing them to actually not, and they're not able to withstand. Why? Because they've not read the scripture and armed themselves with the word of God. So I believe tonight that it is our Christian duty to be armed and ready for when the devil comes. You say, well, is the devil going to come? Yes, he's going to come. And the thing about it is, we know the devil's coming, and so we might as well be ready for him to show up.
Right.
Well, you might as well go ahead and say amen, because right. The devil is roaming to and fro seeking those whom he would want to devour. Listen,
right.
He's not after the world. He's already got the world, but he's after you.
Right.
Amen. He's after the bride of Christ in this day, because she's the one who's living out the revelation and the revealing of the word today. So the ones that the devil's going to fight the hardest is going to be those that are sitting right here in this little church that are trying to do right. And they're trying to live right. Amen. You're not trying to live like the world. You're not trying to fit in with the world. But the devil wants you who are trying to do God a service, and you're trying to do right. He wants to just get in the mind and just make you doubt for a minute. Can you say amen? He wants to get in there just a little bit and say, well, if you do this little thing over here, then you won't surely die. But remember, that's what the first Eve failed to see, was that there was the devil's tricks in the very beginning. And you'll see that the second Eve will not fall to the devil's tricks. Can you say amen? Why? Because she's armed and she's dangerous. Amen. She's armed with the word of God, and she knows how to use the word of God. She knows when she's got to go to prayer. She knows when she's got to stand up for what's right. Can you say amen? So this little bride is not worried about, we're not worried about the devil overtaking us. We know that we are God's, and we were always God's, and we always will be God's. But what we have to fight against is becoming like a Laodicean, which is to be just lulled to sleep. Amen.
Yeah.
And we don't want to ever get in a condition where going to church is just something that we do just to check a box. Or we go there and we say, well, I sang my song and I raised my hand and I said amen to the preacher. But that's not what God has required of you. He has required a life of you to live in the day that you're living in, and to stand with your loins girt about with truth, and to be have the breastplate of and the garments on. Why? Because it's a time where he knows the devil's coming, but he has equipped his bride with the message of the hour. Can you say amen? We don't have to worry about what the world's got, because we've got something greater than what the world's got. Can you say amen? And so the mind is a battleground. And without the Holy Spirit, I would like to say that if you do not have the Holy Spirit tonight, then the mind is a place where the devil will not just come and fight, but he will overtake you. But if you have the Holy Spirit, then that Holy Spirit will rise up every time that devil comes in there, and it will detect what's going on. And you don't have, listen, church, I know many times that, we worry about being deceived, but the bride can't be deceived. What can you say, man? And so when the devil comes around, we know that's the devil. We know he's just a bluff. We know he's just working on us because he hadn't got us yet. We know all these things, but what we need to remember is always stay steadfast in the gospel. Open your Bibles in your homes again. Let the tapes be playing in your cars again. Let the message have the preeminence in our homes again. Why? Because that is what it's going to take to defeat the devil in this day and live a victorious Christian life. And so I see here tonight, I see believers sitting here, and you say, well, there's just a few of us. Well, the Bible didn't say where 300 were gathered, I'll be there. Where 200 are gathered, I'll be there. He said where two or three are gathered. And if two or three are here, we know he's here, then let's go ahead and entertain him while he's here. So when you come to church and it's just you and the pastor on a Wednesday night, or you and the pastor on a Sunday morning, go ahead and say, hey, if it's just me and the pastor, that's two more than the devil's got. Because it's me and him in agreement with the word of God, and there's not a devil in hell that can stand against a believer. Can you say amen? Why? Because we take a hold of thus saith the Lord, and we can defeat the devil any place, any time, under any condition, with the smallest crowd or the biggest crowd, or the loudest service or the quietest service. It's not about that. He's here anyway. Can you say amen? Sorry if I get a little excited. I enjoy the message of the hour. And I hope y'all do too. So Brother Branham would say it like this, and I love this, in the greatest battle ever fought in 1962. He said, a devil is almost harmless unless he can have something to work in.
Right.
He said, remember those devils that were cast out of Legion. They wanted to do more mischievousness, so they wanted to go on the hogs. And so the devils must have something to work in, somebody to work through, and that's the way God does too. Can you say amen? He has to have us, and He's depending on us to work through us. So God is not going to go out here and just work through. He's already working through nature. You can see Him in the trees. You can see Him in the grass. You can see Him in nature. You can go out and deer hunt maybe, and you can see Him in the animals, and you can just sit out there and listen to God. But God actually wanted to have fellowship with the human race, and so He actually made a man so that he, in the image of God, so that He could actually come down and have something to put His spirit in. Right. You may go out here and you can see the animals running wild, and maybe you can say, well, God made him, but the spirit of Christ is not projected through the animal race. But God has actually made a man so that He could project His very spirit through men and women today. Amen, Brother Daniel, when you're out here in the world and you're rubbing your shoulders with the world, amen, you may just look like another person, but there's something on the inside of you that separates you from just another car salesman, that separates you from just another preacher, that separates this church from just another church in the area. But it is a church that God has foreordained to put His name on and put His spirit in, and so it separates us from what the world calls a church. Amen. Yeah. The worldly church today, Brother Brandon would tell us, is just a lodge. The worldly church today is just a place where you get together and you have soup suppers and you just go and get together. And, well, we got together this week and it's a social club. Yeah. But this is not a social club tonight, but it's a place where God wants to meet men and women. God wants to see souls saved. And God wants to see backsliders come home. I thank God for lighthouses like this that are all over the world. Why? Because God didn't say, go get the biggest church, but He said somebody needs to stand there, and when we've done all we can do to stand there for Him. Stand when it looks like it's going tough. Right. Stand when the attendance is low. Yeah. Stand when the devil's after you. Why? Because the devil's always going to be after you. Right. But just remember, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand anyway. Yeah. Can you say amen? Yeah. Stand anyway. Brother Brandon would say it like this. He said He's depending on us to work through us. Can you say amen? And so God has got to have someone who will lay aside these evil thoughts. It doesn't mean the thoughts aren't going to come. Amen. I used to say, well, you're a preacher. Do you have thoughts? I'll tell you what, the devil's going to fight the preachers in these days just as hard as he fights anybody else. Well, can you say amen? I know we got a few brothers here that can preach. And I'm going to just tell you, Brother Daniel, amen, the devil is always after the ministry. Why? Because that's God's chosen way of bringing the message to the people today. Right. Amen. We're not replacing a prophet, but we're saying what a prophet said. Right. And he would love to get in the minds of the ministry and try to take the ministry out of the pulpit. He would love to make the ministry fall away. He would love to make a man that's standing here preaching the gospel fall. Why? Because that's the devil's job. He don't want men standing here declaring that the devil's a liar. He don't want the men of God standing here. He don't want a pastor standing in this pulpit telling you that the promises of God and keeping the promises of God over the people. The devil can't stand that. But God wanted that man to stand here. God placed a pastor here in your area so that you could have someone to feed the people. Listen, the devil's after your pastor. That's why you've got to constantly pray for the man of God in this pulpit. Because he's going to face the same mind battles that you do. You know, he's going to have to pray for him, renewing of his mind just like you. Amen. A pastor can get burnt out. And my brother's a pastor there at home. And sometimes you see the side of it where you're just about fed up. And well, it's just getting tough. And you know, it seems like the people ain't listening. Well, even in those times, God still called you to stand there anyway. And even when I tell you, well, come on, somebody. It's just the way it is. Sometimes the devil gets you in a corner where you just feel defeated. But remember who you are. You are children of God tonight. You are more than enough for what the devil's got. You are an overcomer in this time. God didn't choose somebody else to be in your seat tonight, but He chose you to be in your seat tonight. God didn't choose all the people out here in the nightclubs and running up streets and coming out here drunk. God didn't choose them to be sitting where you're sitting. We should be thankful for the position that God has placed us in. We should be thankful that God has called us for such a season as this. Though it gets hard, though the nights get long, God has placed us here because He knew we could overcome this time of Laodicea. Can you say amen? And so Brother Brandon would talk about overcomers here. And he says overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. Can you say amen? He said lots of people says there is no devil. It's just a thought. Don't you believe that? There's a real devil. He's just as real as you are or anybody else. A real devil. And you must recognize him real. You must know he's a devil. Amen. We've recognized the devil in our day. If you look around, you can see the devil. Amen. This is His kingdom now. He's actually building this kingdom. You say, well, I believe the world's going to get better now because of a certain president or a certain way of politics. Listen, don't be looking at the political system. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Politics are going to fail you 100 times out of 100. But what he cannot fail you. When you look to Him, there is hope in the future. Yeah. And it's not the future of this world, but it's hope in a rapture. Okay. It's hope for your children to be saved. It's hope for your church to be on fire. Yes. It's hope for revival in our hearts. Why? Yeah. Because it's more. It's we're looking to more than just this world. Right. If we had hope only in this world, we would have all men be most miserable. But we are not. Our hope is not here. No. Our hope is not on the sinking sand of man's ideas. No. But our hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is in nothing less than the Word that has been revealed in our day.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Yeah.
We're not looking for a new Word. We're not looking for a new prophet. We're not looking. No, we have the Word.
Right.
Aren't you glad for it? Amen. We have the Word that's been revealed. We have the truth in our day. This is not something. Church, I know there's. You know, you probably hear it all the time in the Methodist church. Amen. We're not just another church. We're not just another denomination. And I would like to just go ahead and reiterate that tonight. We're not just another group of people that are gathering just to have a social standing.
Right.
We're not just another group of people that are getting together and say, well, we're just going to try to find a way through this tribulation that's coming. No, we ain't looking for no tribulation.
No.
Amen. We believe we are a part of the end time bride that is going to make a rapture. I say we ought to believe that. Why? And I don't believe we should say, well, my children might not make it. No, my children are going to make it. I don't care what condition they're in. I'm not looking at the circumstances. I'm looking at a promise that thy and the house shall be saved. So if you got a loved one out there that's straight away, don't be looking at the circumstances that they're in. Don't be looking at the way they're living now. Listen, we got to be a light to them. We got to witness to them. We got to try to get them in. But at the end of the day, it's what God is going to do for us. And if you can have faith for your salvation, then you can have faith for your family. Don't let the devil tell you that your family is not going to make it.
Right.
There's no reason to believe in a God that is not big enough to save your house. Right. But I believe in a God that's big enough. I believe in a God that is still big enough to take care of His Word and go ahead and vindicate that if thy and thy house shall be saved, I claim that for my house.
Yeah.
I claim it for my house. Why? That's the devil working on the minds of the people telling you God's not big enough.
Right.
But do we serve a big God or don't we?
Yeah.
We serve a great big God. When I was lost, He came looking for me. When I was low down, He came after me. When I was so far lost, there's no way I should have been standing right here tonight. But God, in His grace and mercy, saw fit to bring back a sinner like me. Amen, Brother Daniel, when you were at your lowest, God came looking for you. You may not have been looking for God, but He was looking for a young man that He could put His Spirit in and preach the gospel. Why? Because somebody's got to fulfill the Word of God, that there'll be young men take this message on and carry it on to the coming of the Lord. Somebody's got to do it. And so we might as well be fulfilling the Word of God instead of turning around and saying, well, God's not big enough anymore to have preachers. If God ever had a preacher called, He's still got preachers that are called. I don't care how many failed preachers. See, that's what the devil wants to do. Get in your mind and say, well, so-and-so couldn't make it. So-and-so wasn't good enough. So-and-so, they look good, but they failed. Listen, you might fall down, but you cannot fall away if you've been called and ordained to this life that we're talking about tonight. You cannot fall away because why? There is a predestinated seed in you that God placed there before the foundation of the world, and you can no more die than God Himself can die. Why? Because you are a part of Him. Can you say amen? And Brother Branham says this, and I love this quote, and he said, you gotta overcome Him. You must recognize that the God in you is greater and mightier than He is. He's greater and mightier than the devil is. And that the one that's already overcome Him, the one that's in you, has already overcome Him. And by His grace, you are more than a match for Him. He said, there's real overcoming when you recognize. What can you say? Amen. Amen. So tonight we've got to recognize that the devil is not more powerful than you. Why? Because a believer that has taken on the Spirit of Christ is now powerful with the same Spirit that Christ had.
Right.
So the devil is not able to overtake you, amen, unless you fall away and you get cold on God
and you say, well, I'm just not good enough. Or you let the devil talk to you long enough and the devil will come in there and try to tell you all kinds of things about you that you didn't even know yourself. And so he's going to try to tell you how bad you really are. Listen, if you look at the flesh man, how many times he's failed, then you sure enough you can agree with the devil on that. But we are not agreeing with the devil tonight because we're not looking through the eyes of the flesh, but we're looking through the eyes of the Word. That because I've given my life to Christ, don't even look at my sins no more, because he don't even see the sins that I used to do. Why? Because the devil can bring that up. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. So when you start looking at somebody else in the church and say, well, they've done some bad things, quit looking at what they've done and look at the promise that they're still here for a reason. They're still serving God for a reason. God has placed them here for a reason. God has placed you here not just to be another failure, but to be an overcomer in this day. Can you say amen? So he said, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said, then you realize that you've overcome. And you know that he is a devil. You can't say, well, I don't believe in sickness. Oh, yes, it is a sickness. You got cancer. Well, I don't believe in cancer. It is a cancer. It is a cancer. But remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. What can somebody say amen to that? He said, you must realize that the Holy Spirit that's in you has already overcome this thing. Right. Well, praise the Lord. So whatever you have, whatever this thing is for you, you can say, well, he's already overcome that for me. If what you have is sugar diabetes, he already overcome sugar diabetes. If what you have is a lust problem, he already overcame the lust problem for you. You see, we serve a God who came down into human flesh and was tempted just like you have been tempted. What can you say, man? He is not above temptation. Now, he never sinned, but he was not above temptation. He was tempted in all like manners. He was tempted just like you'll be tempted. Because why? He had to know how it feels to be tempted. And he had to also know how it feels to overcome temptation. And so when his Spirit came in you, then you could also overcome temptation. Can you say amen? And so if he has the same Spirit, if you have the same Spirit of him, then when the same temptation that came to him comes to you, you can overcome it on the same basis that he overcame it on. Amen. You can say, it is written. Can you say amen? It is written that I shall not fall down. It is written that I won't live by bread alone, but by every word. Amen. It is written. Why? Because that's how he defeated Satan. And that's how you can defeat Satan today. Well, you either believe the Bible's right or the Bible's wrong. I believe we can still overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The word that I am an overcomer. I am one of his. I am not lost. But I am one that he has chose to put his Spirit in today. I'm a vessel that God can use. I may not have looked good. And I may not have been perfect in this flesh. But he came in and he restored me and renewed my mind so that I could work in the field again of God. I believe tonight that this is a time when the people need to quit looking at what the devil's done to them and start looking to the promises. Amen. Brother Branham said we need to keep the promises over the people. And I know you can get up here, we can preach on, you know, you can, this is my first time here, so y'all forgive me if I say something stupid, all right? But you know, we can stand up here and we can preach a clothesline message till we're blue in the face, but if the Spirit of God's not in the person, then what you're doing is you're just taking a person that's a worldly person and you're making them a worldly person that looks like a message believer. Right. Well, can you say amen? Amen. But if you'll let them get in the Spirit of God one time and let the Holy Ghost come in and fill that vessel, then it'll actually show on the outside of what happened on the inside. Right. Well, can you say amen? It's nice to tell people sometimes as a pastor, I'm sure, you know, a pastor has to stand there and preach things that might be a little cutting to the people, a little hard to the people. But what we really need to do is get these people to a new birth. Amen. Yes. Amen. And the pastor, he wants to see it more than anybody because it's a whole lot easier to deal with people. Amen. When they got the Spirit of Christ in them. Amen. And so it is a whole lot easier to preach to people. Amen. When the Spirit of Christ is there and responding to the word with an amen. Can you say amen? Right. Amen. So what we want to do is we're not here to just make new members and we're not here to just make another church, but we're here to make powerhouse individuals out of the people. Amen. Amen. We want to see people that are on fire for God. Can you say amen? Amen. So let's just go down here a little farther before I run out of time. I didn't ask Brother Tony how long I had tonight, and so I won't go too long, I promise.
All night,
bro. No, we ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that. I ain't got no all night in me tonight, buddy. You're saved. Amen. He said, He said, and he is in you. He said, the Holy Spirit. He said, when you recognize, you must realize that the Holy Spirit that's in you has already overcome this thing. Amen. And this thing can be whatever is going on in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And he's in you, and you can overcome by him. Amen. You can't overcome by you. Amen. I can't overcome Joel Pruitt by Joel Pruitt. No. I've got to overcome Joel Pruitt by surrendering this body. To him. Amen. Brother Daniel, Brother Daniel cannot overcome Brother Daniel, but Christ in you can overcome what Brother Daniel, the flesh man, would like to do. Now, Brother Branham teaches us, and I hope this is okay, Brother Branham teaches us that this flesh is never converted. So, if you're going to try to get in on your good works, you're never going to make it. If you're going to get in because, well, I've been better than so-and-so, God don't even look at that. God is looking at the blood,
right.
And if you're covered by the blood, and if you've surrendered your life to Christ, listen, that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for good people to make it, because if you were good enough to make it on your own, why did he come anyway? But you cannot make it in this age on your own. You can't make it without a blood tag. You can't make it without a full surrender to Jesus Christ himself. So what we've got to do today, we realize that if we're trying to make it our own, the devil's going to overtake your mind, and he will actually take you and make you into something unrecognizable to what you believe you are now. So we don't try to make it on our own. I mean, we've got to fight the battle that we're in. Now, Brother Branham actually tells us we don't just prolong the battle just to fight. So when the devil comes, you don't just let him stay there and say, well, maybe this devil won't fight too hard this time. He can just hang out. No, if you let the devil hang out, he'll take up residence.
Sure.
Right. You say, man, if you let the devil have an inch, he'll take a mile. If you let the devil, you say, well, I'll just look at this one bad video and I'll never look at another one again. No, if you look at the first one, remember, he's got another one coming for you. If you say, well, I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. Maybe it's just me. But listen, if you let them, you get on Facebook, and you do the death scroll, and the next thing you know, you get on there and you look at those reels that pop up, and the next thing you know, the devil will slip one in there. You were just looking at hunting videos. Now the devil's got something in there that is just going to, that he shouldn't be looking at. A Christian man shouldn't see it. But what the devil's done, he slipped one over on you, because we don't look at the TVs anymore, and we don't do that. But now the devil has placed something in your pocket. Why? Because he wants access to your mind. And so if he can get in your mind, he can control you in some ways. Now, I wanted to say this. Now, I know this sounds, well, Brother Joel, where are you going with this? I want to just tell you that you are not to be conformed to this world. Now, in Romans 12, 2, he says it like this. Romans 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where we took the text tonight. We've got to have a renewing of our minds. And he says, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you cannot do it on your own. You can't make it on your own. But you've got to prove the will of God. Why? By the renewing of your mind. I've got to die out to Joel Pruitt so that I can renew my mind. And I can actually think on good things again. Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Think on these things. Amen. If you're constantly caught up in family drama, you can't think on the things of God. If you're constantly caught up in the ways of the world and with your work, you can't think on the things of God. If you're constantly over here in a battle and you're giving in to the devil time after time, listen, if you're always giving in to the devil, how are you going to think on the good things of God? The devil's not going to let you say, well, half the time you can think good thoughts and the other half the time you've got to give it to me. No, we've got to give a full surrender of our mind to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You say, well, is the devil coming? Yes, he's coming. I've always said this, and I stole it from somebody years ago, and I can't remember who it was. Satan knows he's a bluff, but he don't know if you know it. So he knows it. He knows he has no authority over you. The man don't even have the keys to his own house. And yet we give him control over our minds by letting him have access. Now, how does the devil get access to my mind? He gets it by movies and bad movies, TV, and you get uncensored television in the home, And listen, I know if you get up and preach against TVs now, everybody's going to say, well, do you carry an iPhone or a smartphone? Or well, and listen, I'm not here to preach a TV sermon. What I'm here to tell you is if it's bad, let's quit looking at it.
Amen.
If it's something that's starting to take your mind away from the things of God, lay it aside.
Amen.
Lay aside every sin that is so easily besetting the Christian. Listen, I don't say the devil's not going to get in your home some way or another. I don't say he's not going to get in through a movie. Listen, but what I'm going to tell you is when you see the devil, recognize it as the devil, call it the devil, and cast that thought aside and don't let it take up residence in your mind. Amen. So what we do here, renewing your mind, is not just saying, well, I renewed my mind as a Christian, I've been baptized, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Those things are good, that's a good start, but that's why there has to be a refilling after refilling after refilling, because sometimes you just get cold on God and you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. That goes from the pastor. That goes to the back seat. That goes to the song leaders. That's all of us. I don't care who your favorite preacher is. That man has got to have refilling after refilling of the Holy Ghost. It's not good enough to have one filling. No. That's a good start. Uh-huh. But that's not good enough to live in this world that we live in. You've got to have a refilling, brother. You've got to have a refilling, sister. Why? Because God has put you in a time here, and he has given you the ability to overcome. That's but you've got to take a hold of everything that he has equipped you with in this day. So if he has given you the word, you've got to take a hold of the word. Amen. If he's given you a sword, you've got to take a hold of the sword. It does you no good to go into battle if you're not equipped for the battle. Can you say amen? But you're fighting this fight fully equipped with the things of God, and there's no reason for a Christian to lose in this day. If you can just take hold of the word of God and go ahead and equip yourself here tonight and say, I'm not going back to the way I was. I'm not going to think the way I was thinking. The devil is not going to take up residence in my mind anymore.
Amen.
What can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
I don't mean to scream at you. I just want to get this point to you. I just love the word of God, because why? The word of God is what is going to help us overcome.
Yes.
The word of God is the thing we can take a hold of and defeat the devil every time.
That's
can you say amen?
Right.
We use the word of God as that way. Brother Branham said, do you realize that there's really only two powers in all the universe? Of all of our differences between nations and differences between each other and everything, it all mounts up to two powers. There's only two powers. There's only two kingdoms. Two powers, two kingdoms. Now, we may have all different kinds of nations, and we may have all different kinds of people, and you can say, well, we got a superpower, we got a Russian power, a Ukrainian power, an Israeli power, and a U.S. power. There's only two powers ruling this whole thing. And he said that there's only two kingdoms, two powers, two kingdoms. All the rest, the little minor things, are connected with either one of those powers. And those powers is God's power and Satan's power. So when you see a war, that is actually brought together by the powers of the devil. Can you say amen? And you can actually see the devil warring brother against brother, nation against nation, people against people, church against church, and sadly, even sometimes message believer against message believer. And I say we ought not let that happen in our message churches. Listen, if a brother wants to fight me over some little petty doctrine, I'm not going to fight with you, buddy. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I believe what a prophet said. And you believe what a prophet said. And if you see it a little different than I see it, God bless you. We're trying to make a rapture. We're not here to fight with one another. But see, that's what the devil wants us to do. If the devil can get you fighting one another, then he don't have nothing to do. Amen. He can just sit back and watch, Brother Tony. If he can get me fighting with Brother Tony or Brother Daniel, amen, if he can just get us to disagree on something. Listen, as men, if we can sit down and we can go over every scripture and every quote, I bet we can find something that we don't see exactly alike on. But I believe God sent a prophet with the full word for the hour, and I believe that if we can just get ourselves under the messenger, then we can be the final voice to the final age, and we're here to help people and try to get a bride ready for a rapture. Can you say amen? So let's go ahead and just tell that devil you can go right on back to the hill where you came from, because you're not going to take up residence in this body. You're not going to take up residence with my brother Daniel. You're not going to take up residence in Brother Tim or Brother Tony. Why? Because this devil has no right on God's property. Can you say amen? And so we're over here saying, well, devil, you're welcome to come over and hang out. No, the devil has no right on the property of God. Can you say amen? Amen, you young sisters, when you get out here and the world may look at you and say, why do you dress different? Why do you act different? Why do you look different? I say, go ahead and tell them what God's done for you.
Right.
Quit letting the devil try to shame you for the way you dress.
Right.
Because you're not dressing that way just to try to make it on your own merits, but there's something on the inside of you that is causing you to love God and live for God. Can you say amen? So we're not here just to give way to the devil.
No.
And that goes for our brothers. That maybe we have a church. Listen, and where I live, I'll just go ahead and tell you where I live. There's a whole bunch of Message churches in our area. 15 minutes and you can take your choice, whichever one you want to go to. And we can go to this one or that one. Listen, but we don't go around. We can't go fight one another.
No.
Hey, man, we can't fight one another. Listen, we're too small to be fighting one another.
Right.
We might as well just go ahead and say, I love my brother over here. Amen. He's doing what God called him to do. I'm going to do what God called me to do. And we're going to stay just as close to the message as we know how. And we're going to live for God the best that we know how. And I'm not going to talk bad about my brother because he's a little different than me. Well, can you say that? They don't shout as loud as I do, or they shout louder than we do. Listen, I'm not here to judge how loud you are, how quiet you are. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. And God has put his spirit in you. So that you can overcome the devil in this day. Can you say amen?
Right.
So this devil has no right on the believers. I don't care if you go to this church. I don't care if you go to another church. If you've come under the message of the hour and you're just doing all you can to serve the Lord with your whole heart, I say the devil has no right on your property.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
So I want to just go here a little farther. And I've got a timer, so I won't go too long. I promise. Hey, man, I love you started at 6. It kind of messed me up, though. I looked, and I'm like, it's only 7 o'clock. I ain't been up here no time. Hey, man, there's only two powers in the world. Hey, man, I used to sell cars, and I'm sitting there thinking, Brother Daniel's got to be so tired.
Yep.
That mental stress will get you. I did it for 5 years, and I think you often. I'm like, man, how does he do it? It takes a good person and a good salesman. And then when you're a car salesman and a preacher, I don't even know how that works, you know? Praise the Lord for. We love Brother Daniel, don't we? Amen. I've enjoyed his ministry, and every time I see him somewhere online or something pop up, I try to go listen, and we sure love you. I mean, you ought to be proud of the men that God has placed in this church.
Amen.
Amen. God didn't just give you nobody to come in here and preach. No, God gave you ministry. There's churches sitting around that just love to have men of God like you've got here. I say thank God for the men of God he's placed in your church.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for somebody who can stand up here and sing songs and create an atmosphere. And amen. Thank God for what God's given you. Well, somebody, so-and-so's got it bigger. So-and-so's got it. Thank God for what he's given you. Thank God for this place that he's given you to worship in. See, we're always looking for something bigger and better. But what about what God has done for us?
Yeah.
Amen. We need to give God praise for what he's done for us. Yeah. We need to go ahead and say, God, you've been good to me. I may not be where I want to be, but you've been good anyway.
Yeah.
So don't let the devil tell you, just because there's a few people here tonight, we're not successful. No, this is an army of God right here.
Yeah.
It only takes one man
in
the will of God to defeat a whole army.
Right.
Amen. All you got to do is just go back and look at your Bible. Samson was one man.
Yeah.
Amen. He wasn't. Listen, you can say, well, he was a big man. It don't matter how big he was. What he did was supernatural.
Right.
What he did, it don't matter if he was shrimpy or great big. Yeah. One man cannot defeat those armies with a jawbone of a mule. But God said, take what's in your hand and don't worry about what the devil's trying to tell you. Go ahead. You're an overcomer.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Well, I'm just all over the place right now, but I'm just trying to tell you, don't you listen to the devil. Don't listen to the devil when he tells you. Listen, last night I was preaching in a church. It's a very small church, and I was standing there, and I thought, I told the people, I said, listen, and it wasn't on this thought at all, but I just told them, I said, listen, the devil, the first thing he wants to do is tell you if there's just a few of us, then it must not be of God. No, the devil is the accuser.
That's right.
The devil's the one that wants to go around and put numbers on things. No, God don't put numbers on things.
Right.
Take the limit off of God. Yeah. Let God have his way.
Yeah.
I'd rather have two people in agreement with the word of God than 500 that didn't know how to pray to God and just pour out themselves to God and say, listen, I'm humble, I'm ready, I'm willing. Listen, I would rather have one person humble in the sight of God. God can use that person more than an army of untrained soldiers.
Amen.
Because God wants somebody that can get their mind Right. You said, well, this is mental conception. No, what we do, we think mentally because Brother Branham said it like this. He says, you have to accept it with your mind so you can believe it with your heart. If your mind is completely saying, I'm not going to go to church tonight, your heart ain't going to get fed. You've got to make up your mind to go to church and your heart will receive the word of God. Right. Amen. We've got to get it in our mind that we're not gonna skip church just because we don't feel like going. Well, can somebody say amen? Right. Amen. I know I'm preaching to you probably got people sitting at home tonight, and if they're streaming, I know people get sick, and I know sometimes you just can't help it. Yeah. But if you're willing and you're able, you should be there.
Right.
Amen. If you're able to get to the house of God. Amen. If your flesh might be weak and your flesh might be telling you you're tired, but if you're able to go, I say go to the house of God. It's not a do's or don'ts message, but if there's something on the inside of you, it'll kind of take you there.
Yeah.
Amen. If you love God, it's where God wants you to be. Amen. And so don't give up. You know, don't let the devil tell you, well, you know, so and so may not be there. So if they're missing me, then you know, we can all just miss tonight together. Well, that's the devil just working on both ends. Amen. He's just trying to tell you, well, you're not going to get a blessing. Listen, you should walk in that door every service expecting God to do the miraculous for you. You should walk in that door and you should just go ahead and tell that devil, you might as well get out right here because I'm going in there expecting a blessing of God. Amen. The devil might come in and he might even sit down by you in your pew and you can go ahead and tell that devil, you have no right to sit here with me. Amen. Well, come on, somebody. The devil has no right in your mind. You are God's property, made by God, built by God, built for a season like this. The devil has no right over you.
Amen.
Now, Brother Brandon will go on like this in this quote, and I'll bring it down with this one. He said, now listen, he said, Satan, his power, his God, it's perverted power of God. It isn't real power. It's a perversion of God's power. Everything that Satan has, amen, everything that Satan has, death is only a perverted life. A lie is only the truth mistold. See, adultery is an act misused, a righteous act misused. Everything that Satan has got is something that was perverted, but it is a power, but it is a perverted power. Now, I hope you can follow me here for just a few moments before we close. He said, and one or the other power is going to control us. So you can, now we are put on free moral agents. Now, we are free moral agents. You know this, if you've heard the message at all, you know that when Adam and Eve were put on free moral agency, and that's what caused the whole problem we have today. Because she was actually told, don't touch that, but yet she would go ahead and do it, and she had the ability to do it. Can you say amen? Amen, but God told her not to. God can tell you, don't give in to the devil. But now it's up to you to stand with the armor that you've been given. In this day, if you give in, then the devil can overtake you. Yeah. The only power the devil has is the power you allow him to have. Can you say amen? The devil is powerless until he can use you to work through. So I would like to say tonight, devil, you are not going to work through me. Devil, you are not going to work through this church. Devil, you have no right to sit here. Devil, you are going to get out of this mind. Satan, get behind. You have no power here. So we've got to just tell the devil where he's going.
Yeah.
The devil's going to a lake of fire. The devil is going to be forever. Listen, just because he's got a little kingdom here that he set up, we got a future home.
Uh-huh.
Where can you say amen? We got a future home we're going to. We've got a place we're going that is so much greater than this that why would we give in just for a season of sin, just to live here just for a while, say, well, I, if I'm not a Christian, I can have a better car because I can work another job that I would have to take on a Sunday, or that maybe this job would take me out of the house of God, but you know, I can live better. Well, I'd rather live better over there and live a little worse over here. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. It's no reason to give in to the devil here because this is just a season where you're being trained for what is to come.
Right.
And so Brother Brandon goes on. He said, let's take our position like the stars of heaven. And Brother Bram does a little play on word. He says about wandering stars. He said over in the book of Jude, foaming out of their own shame. He said, we don't want to be wandering stars. Wonder if this is right. Wonder if that is right. Wonder if this will happen. Wonder how it could be. Don't wander. Stay like those stars, like heaven, as a real soldier at his post of duty. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Stand there believing life and death. Now, he says an army, when really an army, a nation makes ready to go against another nation, it should first sit down and figure out what's right and wrong and whether they're able to go against the next nation or not. Jesus taught that if people would do that, the nations would sit down and stop and think about those things. Both sides would have no more war. We find out if a man doesn't do that, if the military heads of the nation doesn't sit down first and figure out and see they are right and their motives and objectives right, if they have enough strength and power to overcome the next army, then they're sure to lose. So if you'll actually sit down and realize something, the devil has no right in my mind, why in the world am I being controlled by something that is powerless against me? Why am I letting the devil control my life when he has no authority over my life? Right. Why am I letting the devil ruin my family when the devil has no right to my family? Right. Why am I letting the devil come in and cause me not to get a blessing in the service when the Word of God told me I could get a blessing in this service? Right. Why am I letting the devil have his way when we need to let God have his way?
Amen.
Brother Branham would go on like this, and he would say, and that battleground begins in the human mind. There is where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of battle, where it was begun. And he said that is because that decisions are made from the mind, in the head. Now he said they never started it from some organization. They never started it from some mechanical affair. The grounds never started it there. He said therefore the organization can never do the work of God, because the battlegrounds where you've got to meet your enemy is in your mind. You've got to make your choice. Now, he would go on, and this is the greatest battle ever fought, 62. He said, inside of the body is a soul, and the soul is controlled by imaginations, conscience, memory, reason, and affections. Can you say amen? Now, most of you read this message or heard this message, and you know exactly where I'm going here. He said, and that's the thing that controls the soul. But the spirit, it only has one sense. He said, okay, let's get it. He said, the spirit has one sense, and that sense, it either it dominates it, is faith or doubt. That's exactly, and there's only one avenue to it, and that's free moral agency. You can accept doubt or you can accept faith. Well, can you say amen? Either one you want to work on. Therefore, Satan began in the principal part to cause the spirit of man to doubt God's word. God began at the principal part to lay his word in that spirit. There you are. That's what does it. If this church right now could be put together and knitted together with such that every person would be in one accord with not one shadow of doubt anywhere, there would not be a feeble person in our midst in another 5 minutes. What can you say, amen? So if you would just get your mind right to be in agreement that we're going to come to the house of God, we're going to believe the word of God, we're going to cast down reasoning, cast down doubt, then there would not be a feeble person sitting among us. There would not be a backslider sitting among us. There would not be one person needing anything in this building, but you would be free and delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost here tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. We don't need anything but what God has already given us. It's time for the church to accept her God-given right and stand on the ground that you've been given. This is your land. It is a message of deliverance to you. It is a message of vindication that has come and been vindicated worldwide so that you can have a full word restored to you and have power that the world knows nothing about. Can you say amen? I mean, this message is not powerless. No. This message is not a dead letter. This message is alive to the believer. Amen. I mean, this message is life to you. This message, it comes inside of you and it grows you into the stature of a man that you're supposed to be. Amen. I mean, you may have started down here and said, well, I just don't know what I don't know what I can do. I don't know if I could ever be a song leader, a preacher, a deacon. Just try to be a Christian and God will place you where he needs you. Amen. And we don't want to look for position. We want to look for what God wants for us. Amen. We don't want to look for, well, if I could be in church, then I could be the pastor. No, just go to church and be the best Christian you can be and do your best to cast that devil out of your mind and don't let him hinder you from one service.
Right.
Amen. It may be the lowest attended service, and that's where God may choose to meet you.
Yeah.
Think about it. God could choose to meet you in the most unlikely time.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, where did God come to anyway? When he was born, he didn't go to a fancy hospital room. He didn't go to the biggest hotel. Amen. He was turned out of those places,
right.
But he came to a simple place in a manger.
Yeah.
And that's where God chose to put his baby. That's where God chose to be born. Well, can you say amen? So if God would choose to be born there, I would say God would love to just be would love to be welcome into this building here tonight. Amen. It don't matter how you feel. It don't matter what you think. You say, well, I didn't feel like I got anything. Listen, church, if we go by feelings and emotions, we're saved one day and we're backslid the next. But if we can quit looking at our feelings, quit looking at our emotion, and start looking to the Word of God again, we are going to overcome this world that we're living in. Amen. Somebody's going to raise up in a rapture. I say, let it be me.
Amen.
I say, let it be this little church right here. Amen. I hope to God that the Sunday after the rapture, this church right here is empty.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. We don't want one person to show up on a Sunday after the rapture. I say, take everybody with us. Is everybody going? No, everybody ain't going. But let's just go ahead and have faith for everybody that we know. Amen. I'm just going to have faith for Brother Daniel. I've got the same faith that for my salvation, I'm going to believe that my kids are not going to be here in the tribulation time.
Right.
Amen. Let's not let the devil tell us that. The devil might tell you, well, your kids aren't serving the Lord right now. They're lost. Well, he could be right, but they ain't going to stay lost.
Right.
Brother Brandon, we'll talk about the sickness. Yeah, you're really sick, but you don't have to be sick because greater is he than the sickness. Greater is the word than the condition of your family. Greater is the word than the condition that you feel yourself falling into. Well, I feel like I'm a little backslid right now. Greater is he than the devil that's trying to take you out.
Amen.
Can you say amen? I'm going to go on here. My goodness, that clock is just ticking away. Brother Brandon would say like this, and I just want to build your faith for just a minute and we'll close. Is that all right? He said, never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. If you can help it. Amen. When it starts that, he said, don't entertain it. Well, you say, I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, that'll be like the farmer that said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but he could sure stop them from roosting. Amen. He said, so that's a good thing. You see, you can't help the thoughts when they come by. He said, but you don't entertain them. Just pass it on. He said, sir, no, sir, Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God, and I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify of them. And God can only bless you as you confess that he has done it for you. See, he's the high priest of your confession. So I'm not going to go around saying, well, it's just me and nobody else in my family is going to make it. No, I'm going to claim my household for it.
Right.
It's just me and the church, and the church just ain't growing like we thought we would. Listen, if it's just me and Jesus, let me be ready on that day.
Amen.
But let's not look at the negatives. Let's always keep our testimonies positive.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
That's right.
Brother Rand said, he said, you can't help it from roosting. You can't help it from coming, but you can stop it from roosting. And so when those thoughts come, I would just like to say it like this. When the thoughts come, church, I believe we have a message that's told us. When the thoughts come, let's go ahead and tell that devil to leave.
Yes.
Dismiss that devil quickly. Don't give him any room to work in your mind. Don't give him any room. Listen, I know that's his battleground. I know that's where he's going to come. On Monday morning, sure enough, that devil's going to show up and just to test you to see if you're still God. But on Monday morning, I'm just as strong as I was on Sunday morning when I was set in the presence of God. Why? Because the feeling of the service is not what's holding me on Monday. It is a life that has come into me. It is a life that has come into the believer. I may not feel saved on Monday morning, but I'm saved anyway. Because it's not by my fleshly feeling. It's by God's amazing grace.
Right.
Can you say amen? Yeah. Amen. I believe the church just needs to recognize we're saved by his grace. It ain't by what I did anyway.
Right.
Amen. So let the devil come and tell you whatever he might do. But God is bigger than that devil.
Yeah, right.
Say, by grace I am saved. It's not what I did, devil. I know what I did. I know how low down scum I was. But I ain't looking at that. I'm looking at the blood of Jesus over my life. Can you say, man, I wonder if we could stand together. Musicians, go ahead and come. I just want to go ahead and read this before we close. We'll get way on down here. I had way too much here tonight about this, but I think it's all about the same thing. It's all about your mind and how we've got it. That's where it starts.
Yes.
Right.
That's where it starts. Before he can ever talk to your heart, you've got to open up your mind and be willing to come to the house of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Brother Branham said like this, don't have a negative testimony. Every time when you confess, well, I still feel bad today, you go right back in the same rut that you was in the beginning.
Yeah.
He said, there's not a man or a woman in here that is baptized with the Holy Spirit, but would start your confession, I believe I've lost the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't do it. Why? Because you're a Holy Ghost-filled believer. And believers do what? They believe.
That's right.
And if a believer believes that they're saved, then they're not going to go around saying, well, I'm unsaved today because we didn't shout in church on Sunday. Listen, I don't care if you shouted or not. That ain't what saved you.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
That ain't what saved you. The shout never saved
That's
you,
right.
but God came into your heart and made you different than the way you used to be. He's changing you from glory to glory. He's making you new. He's making you different. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Brother Brandon would say it like this. He said, you go right on. He said, you would never say I'm lost. He said, you'll go right down. You never can. See, listen, close. You'll never live above your confession.
That's right.
So if you let the devil come in there and try to beat you down on your confession, go ahead and tell that devil, you have no right here.
Mm-hmm.
You have no right.
Amen.
Can the church say amen?
Amen.
The devil has no right in your mind.
That's right.
He said, well, he can have my mind, but not my heart. Get him out of your mind.
Yes,
right. Get him out of your mind. I wonder if we could bow our heads together. And I wonder if we could just say, if you could just play something for me, Brother Tim. Brother Branham would say this, just in closing, he said, I'll never have a negative testimony no more. I'm going to believe the Lord. And Brother Branham would ask this, he said, will you raise your hands and say, I believe that, and I now confess that. I am not going to have a negative testimony no more. The devil may come in my mind, but he can't stay in my mind.
Amen.
The devil might come and try to tell me that I can't live this message, but I'm living proof that somebody can live this message. The devil might come and tell me we ain't big enough, but we're a great mighty army. If it's just me standing here tonight, I'm not going to let that devil beat me down. When the pastor comes and pours his heart out to you, that's not just a man speaking to you, but that's God using a vessel to portray his message to you. Listen tonight, church, I know this is simple. I just want to lay a foundation tonight. We've got to believe from the heart. But let's get the devil out of our minds so that we don't have a hindrance. Can we do that tonight? If that devil's come around today and told you, well, I just can't make it. The devil's coming trying to tell you. You know, because every time you have a negative testimony, that's not God. God's not the author of that. God is not the author of that negativity. But God has already said, you're my child. God said, you're mine. So why would we ever take the word of a devil? So tonight, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I wonder if you have a need on your heart. Say, that devil's been fighting me, and the devil's been, he's been winning more battles than he's been losing. I wonder if you just put your hand up to him tonight. And just say, Satan, you're defeated right here on a Saturday night. And you have no place in my mind anymore. And with all of our hearts, I want to pray together now. Just go ahead and pray in your own way right there. The altar's open, or if you need hands laid on you, whatever you would like tonight. Amen. We want to just make this service. We don't just want to rush through it, but we want to just let the Lord have his way here for a few moments. And if you have a need tonight, I'd be happy to pray with you. But if you wanted to stay in your seat, just raise your hand up to him and just say, Lord, I've let the devil win too many battles in my mind. I've let him have too much place in my mind. I've let him get in through the wrong movies or the wrong social media, or he's come in and he's started to work in ways that would cause me to get cold on God. Just tell the Lord about it. He's not here to cast you away. He's here to draw you back to him here tonight. Listen, it's not wrong to confess to God. It's not wrong. God wants you to just come humbly before him. Pour your heart out to him here tonight. Heavenly Father, as we pray for these people here tonight, Lord Jesus, we know where the battleground is. We know he's a real devil. And we know he's fighting your children this day. And we know the reason he's fighting these people here tonight is because he doesn't have a hold of one of them. We know, Lord, tonight that as we come together, that this is just a small gathering, but we're not looking at the size of the group, but we're looking at the power of the Almighty God that is able to come in here tonight and change hearts and renew minds here tonight. And I pray, Lord, you would just give us a fresh renewing here tonight. Not to just have another service in the morning, but Lord, may we be on fire for God and say, Lord, I want what you would have for me. Lord, if it's a shouting experience, I'll take it. But if it's just a humble time of worship, if it's just a time to get quiet before you, whatever you would have for me, Lord, I'm here willing and able to be in your service tonight.
Yes,
we want to thank you, Lord, for the people that have come here tonight, not to hear a man, but Lord, to hear from you this evening.
Yes.
I pray you move upon these people. Renew our minds here tonight, Lord. Move us out of the way so that we can just get the full benefits of your blessings here tonight. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for everything you've done for us already and the things that you will continue to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, if you just sing and worship Him now. Amen. If you need prayer, the altar's open. God bless you, Brother Tony.
And life is worth the living just because He lives.
You believe He's alive?
Because He lives. I can face tomorrow because He lives.
Day, we go to the Word each day. When Satan gets you to start having a negative confession, just go back to the Word. Just a little talk with Jesus.
Yes.
Go back to His promises. You're rebooting.
That's right.
Right? And that's what you do. Is you're taking and you're just taking and cleaning the slate off,
yeah,
and putting back in memory the exact program of God that He has promised.
Right.
Amen. And so that's important. I tell you what I believe. You know, I think maybe a lot of people maybe don't see just how important it is to pray and to fill your mind with the Word of God.
Yes.
And so, you know, I was sharing the other day how that Brother Bram was showing us that here in the end time, the mark, right? The seal of God and the mark of the beast was repeating again like it was there in the scriptures where the rider would eat for it. And so here we go. Here in this end time, this is happening. The seal of God, right? And remember we talked about the seal of God. It's like a front between your eyes and you put in your hand.
Yeah.
See, here we are at the time where the mark is coming out and everybody's thinking about some physical something. But what is it?
Yeah.
It's what you believe.
Yes.
And what you support. If you believe it, you'll support it.
Yeah.
Right? And in contrast to that, when everybody's mind is going to be taken over,
yes,
with a certain thought process of the world and the
right
things of the world, and you're going to act it out,
yep,
what the world wants you to,
yep,
during that time,
yes,
there's a seal of God.
Right.
Right.
And what does the seal of God do? It's like a friendly between your eye. You fill your mind with the things of God, and that's what you bless.
Right.
Right? And that's the contrast.
And
this is something that has ushered in this last day. The prophet showed it. Here it is repeating again,
yes,
that we must fill our minds with the Word of God. We must put it on the doorpost coming and going as we go in and out and let it be what we think about.
Yes.
So every day,
yes,
reboot.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Fill your mind with the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen. There were so many good things that our brother shared with us tonight. There were some really good points I wrote down here. Equipping yourself for the battle. We have no business going out to battle if you're not equipped.
Right.
Amen. That's a very profound statement. We should think about that.
Yes.
Amen. We are God's property.
Amen.
Satan,
yes,
has no business.
Right.
Has no business messing with you.
Yeah.
It has no business being in your mind.
Right.
Amen. And so, really appreciated the things that, yes, brother had to say. You know, he said a while ago, talking about Satan wanting you to count the numbers. You know, you remember in the scriptures,
mm-hmm,
God said, don't you number Israel.
Right.
Remember David got in trouble because he did,
right,
number Israel?
Yeah.
Because the whole concept there is that it don't matter how many numbers you have because,
yeah,
God's with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So God don't want you worried about the numbers.
Right.
He just wants you to know that He's with you.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Right? But the devil's the one that comes along and says, look at numbers.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It don't matter.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that was such a good sermon tonight.
Amen.
Amen. So we just appreciate our brother and his family coming.
Amen.
We're going to dismiss you here in just a moment, and Brother Tim gets another song ready for us to dismiss. Renewing of your mind. Amen. Satan never points to the successes. I remember Brother Ben talking about that. He'll say, look at this preacher, he fell. Look at this one, he did this, whatever. But he never points to the successes.
Right.
Look, this guy prayed for someone and they died.
Right.
He never shows you the successes.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We're going to fill our mind with the successes that God has given us. Amen.
Amen.